I think I'm going to say a prayer before we get started. I really felt the Holy Spirit here today. Christy asked me if I was okay, and I told her I was very okay. So I was sort of bent over, and I know it freaked some people out. Oh, you're going to take some kids after? Okay, good. Great. But I just think God is really wanting to work today. So, Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would anoint this sermon, that it be something that really can touch us and change our life. Lord, I ask that you would open my lips to be able to proclaim the good news and be able to speak your word. Anything that's not your word that I'm saying, Lord, just let it fall and dribble to the ground, but ask you to anoint all that is from you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some folks, there obviously weren't here last week, but I actually ended up in a series I didn't realize I was going to do, but it's on faith. I talked about faith last week, and we found out last week, if you were here, that the way we grow in faith is by being challenged by problems in our life. And the bigger the problems, the more growth in faith we have. We wish it wasn't that way, but it's that way. We talked about the fact that the common saying which says God never gives you more than you can handle is a lie, and that he's always giving us more than we can handle, but he's giving us the provisions to be able to grow into a new level of being able to handle things. So we can't be surprised when problems happen. Sometimes in all the problems and challenges in life, really, we just need someone to give us that little something. You want to put the slide up? I like this one. It says, sometimes I just wanted someone to hug me and say, I understand your pain. It's going to be okay. Here's coffee and $2 million. If you know, that's all we need. Sometimes it's just little things in life that make the difference. But last week we heard that for every problem, there's a promise and a provision. And there may be multiple promises and multiple provisions. The bigger the problem, the more the provision. And the more the growth in faith. I mean, faith is, in the Vineyard, we spell faith R-I-S-K. And it's a matter of risk. It's a matter of stepping out in life. And instead of saying, I can't do that, saying, Lord, give me the power to grow. Give me the faith to be able to step out. What we find is faith is not a movement, it's a way of life. It's a matter of looking at faith and not being something, when all else fails, we try faith. That's not the way God's calling us to live. He's calling us to live by faith coming to mind, the Lord coming to us first as we encounter problems. First thing we think of is, I wonder how God's in this. I wonder what he wants to do in my life. Now, sometimes we're in the middle of all kinds of crap flying around and we go, you know, it's not the first thing in our... He wants us to begin to build a relationship with him in which it is the first thing that comes. He is the first thing that comes to our mind. Let me look at a scripture in Hebrews 11 on faith. It says, now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So faith is a confidence. It's knowing in our knower, deep down inside in our heart, that God is going to do something in our life. He's working. when all hell breaks loose and everything becomes a disaster, we can go, ah, where is God in this? What is he doing? And if it's a really big thing, then what is the really big thing he's doing in our life? Sort of the first cousin to faith that draws right with it is hope. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So we are looking to the Lord in this life that we have today and realizing the things that are coming at us are temporary, but we're looking for the goal of the permanence in Christ and in the life he has for us. I think I'm going to put my glasses on so I can actually see these things. A while back, Paula and I read a book called Heaven Awaits the Bride. It was written by a lady by the name of Anna Roundtree. In it, Anna had a vision of heaven, and she saw herself at the throne of God the Father. She got an idea. She actually believed, and I kind of could go with her on it, that she actually saw what heaven was like. And she saw the greater life that's ahead of us. Life now is important, for sure. But the greater life ahead of us is even more important. Let me read an excerpt from that book. She is sitting on the lap of the Father on his throne, and she says, he said, those who are called to draw near to me will share in my peace. But only those who have hope have peace, continual peace. If hope is gone, the soul is tossed to and fro, seeking safe harbor. I want my children's eyes set on me, hoping in me, not looking at the passing panorama of earthly events being played out before them. I want you to look beyond, to look up, to see at last, the distant shore towards which they are sailing, filling their hearts and minds, their eyes and ears with me. They will bring hope that gives peace. That's why she's convinced me that she has seen God, because that's what God would be saying as far as I could see. There's parts of this that I want to take a look at. First is the idea of hope. But only those who have hope have peace, continuous peace. If hope is gone, the soul is tossed to and fro, seeking safe harbor. Hope is more than just a wish list. Hope is more than just, I'd kind of like to. Hope is concrete. It is something that's coming down the line for us. We can bet on it. We can lean on it. We can know that God wants for us the best that he has for us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that in the short term, but we're running a marathon. We're not sprinting here. We're going for the long haul. And God is calling us to that. Jesus is the source of our hope. Without him, we're lost. Remember Peter saying at one point when they asked him Jesus asked them, do you want to go somewhere else? And he said, where else would we go, Lord? That he is our everything. The disciples who amazingly got to spend time on earth with him saw that right away, that their life was totally bound up in him and what he had for them. But again, it comes back to that same thing in faith, in which God wants to give us a stronger and stronger faith, so he's giving us trials, testing to see what it is that we can actually take and turn to him with. The Apostle James says to us, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face the trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of faith develops perseverance." What a word, perseverance. It's just, that is the word of a marathon. I've never ran one. I'm pretty sure I never will, but just they talk about hitting walls, certain phases that it get hard, and then there's a sort of a rut, and then it gets hard again. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. God wants us to have it all, but it all is in our character, in something that's eternal in us. What we get eternally from Christ in this life will stay with us forever. If we're chasing off of things that are just from this world, wasted time, wasted effort. What he's calling us to is the eternal perspective. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Excuse me. And so when we don't, wisdom is, how do I do this, Lord? I know what to do, but I don't know how to get there from here. How do I do this? James goes on to say, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. We have to know that it isn't just a matter of screwing up our will and trying harder to have the faith, but it is just honestly opening our lives, turning our hearts to him, and saying, Lord, I can't do this, but I know you're calling me to it, so give me what I need. Give me that wisdom to know how to do what God is calling me to. Jesus is the anchor for our souls, our lives. In another scripture in Hebrews, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. Jesus is that very hope that we have. If he hadn't done all he had done, we couldn't even think of this, couldn't imagine it. Now, the part of the vision that really struck me, it says, I want my children's eyes on me, hoping in me, not looking at the passing panorama of earthly events being played out before them. I want them to look beyond, to look up, to see at last the distant shore towards me, which they are sailing, filling their minds and hearts, their eyes and ears with me. This will bring the hope that gives peace. That passing panorama is an amazing phrase. Our life oftentimes is just, we can't believe the stuff that's coming at us. We're going, my gosh, is this real? I don't know about anyone else, but our lives make soap operas look really boring. And it's just a matter of that God is just calling us. Those passing panorama of earthly events. I don't know if that strikes anyone else, but the tragedies that happen, also the joys that happen, the blessings that we have, and the challenges that we get in our life. We so easily lose sight of what is really important, and we forget God's plan that He has for us. If you don't realize that, maybe you haven't thought about it, but God has a plan for our life. He has created us for a very specific reason. We're not just sort of accidents. You see old joke of 70% of all people are caused by accidents? No, that's not the case. It's a matter of He has specifically put each and every one of us here with specific gifts and talents and character and personality to do what He's calling us to do. We were all made for such a time as this. And it's no accident that you're sitting here. It's no accident that you were born here in Monroe, Michigan in the 21st century. This is no accident whatsoever. It's a matter of God has a plan He's calling us to. And He has that because He loves us. And He's decided to create every person. He is so huge that He can specifically be focused on each and every one of us at the same time. And He wants us to know that He is really calling us to Himself. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 says the following: "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And I love this picture, this little cartoon. The one guy, look at how big of a carrot plant I have here. And the other guy looks a little forlorn, but what's the real fruit of his life is so outweighing what can be seen. Many people get this all backwards. There's this saying that says you become so heavenly minded that you become no earthly good. That's a lie of the world. It's just not true. It's a matter that the more heavenly minded we can become, the more earthly good we can become. It's the only way to become earthly good. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, "Set our minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ." We need to be looking for the eternal in everything. We crash our car. What's the eternal thing that's in the midst of that? Yeah, I know, I gotta be crazy to think. But God's doing something. We see some suffering going on. God may be calling us to reach out to a person. The interesting thing is we never want to lose sight of that shore towards which we are heading. It is the destination like none other. In the real world, we keep rowing until we reach shore. But in the kingdom of God, the shore is also approaching us and will be here someday soon. I mean, we're not just trying to reach out to God. He's coming in on us. His kingdom is moving in on us. His kingdom is coming in violently to take us, His people. And He's calling us to just persevere, to be able to continue to row that boat towards the shore that we're going to. Now, most of you know that we are going through trials in our family. It's been a difficult time. Actually, the last couple years have been for us. And exercising faith has just been an absolute requirement for us. We couldn't have survived this without that. And when the Bible talks to us about asking for wisdom, sometimes we don't even know what we're asking for, what we should ask for. But fortunately, we're able to hear God speak to us. We're a people who believe God is speaking to us today and that he wants to. And oftentimes he does it in spite of us, not because of us. He does it because he wants to reach out to us. He wants us to hear. I want to talk about just briefly about a way that we can do that. Some people go, "Oh, I don't hear God," "I don't ever get anything like that." But he has given us one solid way in which we can hear him speak very clearly. And that's through the Bible, the Word of God. Now, for me, there's still a combination. I'll say, "Lord, where in the Bible do you want me to read?" And I'll often come with a scripture in mind, and I will oftentimes look at it, and I'll generally read before and after whatever comes to mind so I get a context of it. But it's amazing to me how often God speaks in a clear way through just asking him to speak through his word, through the Bible. We're facing some real trials, and especially with my daughter, Beth Ann, and we had just left the lawyers, and if you want more of the story, you'll have to talk to me afterwards, but a lot of you know it. And we came back, and Paula was going to meet with her spiritual advisor, a lady by the name of Sarah. Sarah's in Redding, California, so it was obviously a Skype meeting, but and Beth Ann went in to join her. And as they went to pray for Beth Ann, do you want to tell us what happened?
Sure.
Do you want to come up to the microphone?
No.
Oh. Then talk really loud, because we want okay. to want this to...
I don't really think there's ever been a time my voice didn't carry.
Yeah, okay. It's the microphone.
But no, I mean, I've been prayed over, and I kind of looked through scripture before, tried to find scripture verses, but in this case, we talked for a while, and they prayed over me, and she said, if you just hear a word or a scripture, please, am I really that quiet?
I'm going to get a recording.
All right, fine. she said, if you just want, if you hear a word or a scripture or anything like that, just let us know after we pray. And of course, when they started praying for me, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm not going to get anything. This is not going to work. And then, this is probably more than you knew, but, and then at the same time, I don't really know the Bible very well because I'm a recovering Catholic. So I did hear a word and at first I actually got a scripture in my head that I actually read later, and it was just like a throwaway scripture, but that was before I let any prayer come in, before I really listened. And then finally I heard Luke 12:7, and I asked if that was a scripture because I didn't know how long all the gospels were. And this is the scripture. It says, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." So, kind of great. And then I also, it was in the version I got, it was even more expanded and just more of like, don't be afraid. You really are loved. Which, even if you know that, there's a difference between knowing it and knowing it. And I have continued to get the scripture from other people. When I was at the Vineyard International Conference, there were a couple of people that came forward with that scripture for me. So it was very interesting. Is that enough?
I want to make one comment on the recovering Catholic. I have a couple of good Catholics over here who aren't recovering.
Yeah.
They are memorizing the scripture. So it's a way in which God wants to work in our lives. Isaiah chapter 30 says to us, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it. God wants us to know what is the way, what direction in our life ought we to go? Where is he calling us to? God comes through when we rely on him to speak to us. I can tell you that that's one prayer he loves to answer. God, would you speak to me? You'll see things happen. I've seen it where, Lord, I need you to speak to me on this. And I've heard his voice through just secular movies or television commercials or whatever. Something will come out that I'm going, whoa, that kind of stands out. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The story I heard one time is that they used to have these little lanterns that attached to people's feet. So when they walked at night, they could see their steps and know where to go. I've heard that story. I will believe that it's true. The problem with that is all you can see is the next step. So that's where I think actually it may very well be true, because I think God wants us to sometimes just take one step at a time. That he's not saying, okay, I'm going to have you do this, and then this, and then this, because then we'll do it. We'll make sure, and he may be, all right, I want you to do this, and then I want to do these things in your life, and then I want you to do this, and then I want to do other things in your life. And so we just need to follow him, step by step. You can't obey God unless you listen to him first. He wants to connect with you. I mean, that scripture really does speak to us. Sometimes it's God screaming at us and going, I'm trying to get your attention. Do you know that what's going on here? God's word is alive and clearly and solidly wants to impact our lives. He wants us to really hear his voice. He's not saying, I'm just going to let you go on your own till you fall off a cliff. But he wants us to know and hear him. It takes us sometimes just sitting down, shutting up, and listening to God, reading his word. And as you read the word of God, you get an idea of what God says, the kind of things he says. You get an idea of how God works. You see the patterns, so that when he starts actually speaking to your heart, sometimes through your mind, that you know that's God, or you know that's not God. Fear comes into your life and you go, I don't think that's God. But you hear this call. It might even be scary, but it's not fear, it's challenge that God has for us. And end with Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. When God speaks to us, when he wants to come and give us direction in our life, when he wants to come and tell us more about ourselves, what it is, who we are, what was his plan, why did he set us in this spot today? When we hear that, it's the word of God penetrating deep inside of us to really and truly be able to touch us. Because even all of those come back to the point of he just loves us and he wants an ongoing relationship with us. He died for our sins. He did that. It wasn't an accident. Oh, I died. I might as well use this for something. He specifically came to die for our sins, to be raised again, to defeat death so that nothing can stop us in our life. That it is a matter of God really wanting us to know him. He created us above all other purposes to have a knowledge and relationship with the living God. And he's calling each and every one of us today to that same knowledge, to that same relationship. And like in other relationships, I think we sometimes we get busy and we go wandering off this way or wandering off that way. Or we get scared and we go and hide. And he's going, no, I'm calling you. I'm the word that they use often is beckoning. That makes sense. I'm saying, come. His kingdom is coming, moving forward. Right now, things seem to be getting worse and worse in the world. And yet, it's the kingdom of God moving forward. It's the kingdom of God breaking into this world, and this world just doesn't like it. It does not like what the kingdom of God wants to do. Because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But he's calling us. And the word that we use is repent, which means turn around to God, turn towards him, and give our hearts to him. So I'd be glad today afterwards to pray for anyone who has a desire to do that, to just give their life to Christ. And maybe, or again, yeah, I've strayed off and I want to come back, whatever. God wants to call us today and move into our lives. So I just thank the Lord for what he's doing in this church and the people here. Amen.